Father God, we come before you and we are thankful to come to worship you in this place. And we believe this is holy ground for wherever you are and wherever we meet is holy ground. Would you teach us by your Holy Spirit? Anoint our teachers, our children, and anoint the teaching here, Lord. That, Lord, we would be strengthened in you. We would grow. Lord, we would have answers to the questions in our hearts this morning. We want to be your people. We want to follow your will. In a world, Lord, that doesn't want to follow you, it can be difficult. Help us, Lord. Show us how we can be that shining light in the darkness, how we can be people of hope, Lord, in this world, Lord. Anoint our time with study of prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. We're finishing our series today called One. It's about unity in the church. And this morning, of course, we're talking about love. Last week, many of you guys know there was a shooting in a synagogue, Tree of Life Synagogue. 11 people died. And it's sad that things like that happen, that people are just so filled with rage and hate that they would do something like that. Of course, we know that the devil does work in that way. But what's probably even more sad than that is the immediate blame that comes after when people begin to point fingers and begin to blame. There's not even a moment of let's just come together and love one another. Let's have a time of peace. Let's have a time of consolation. And I begin thinking about that. And the hatred, this hatred basically, that they talk about, you know, the acts of hate. It hasn't come through some people's rhetoric, whether it's the president or politicians. It hasn't come up in the past couple of years. This is something that's been building in America over decades. And I think we have to be smart. Amen? We need to be a little bit smarter. I hope you're smarter than the news, because there's a lot of not smart things being said in the news. And so we need to be smarter than that. Don't buy into that political nonsense. It's not about rhetoric. You see, when a nation throws God under the bus and says, we don't need you, it's not too long after they begin to throw all his teachings under the bus. What is the greatest teaching in the Bible? You know it. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So, if we're going to throw God under the bus and his greatest commandment, don't you think his teachings are going to go under those same wheels, right? Love goes with it. And the world thinks that it knows what love is, but see, this is the problem. Is there's no, when we're outside of a Christian culture, we don't agree on morality. We don't even agree on the definition of love. How can you love one another if you don't even agree on what love is, right? You ever think about that? Everybody's got their own definition of love. We don't even agree on that. And so in this culture, it's like we're reaching and scraping and trying to find our own way without God. And it's no surprise. Hatred fills in the gap. It's no surprise. When you cast love out, it leaves a hole for hate to fill. Right? And I began looking at that and thinking about what we're talking about today. People have asked me, is it even possible to talk to somebody that you disagree with anymore? I mean, really, everybody's in their own echo chambers, right? Is it even possible to talk reasonably and civilly with somebody that I disagree with. Because, you know, you guys have gotten to arguments with family members, right? And all of a sudden, it's just, you're just arguing, and they're arguing, and then it just, oh, that's it, right? People disown each other over things that they never do that. Where is this coming from? I believe it is possible to talk to people you completely disagree with, even people that might not really like you. Did you know that? You know why I believe that we can do that? Because Jesus said we can do it. Jesus said that we could do that. And in fact, he says it right here, and it's in Luke chapter 6 from verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Easy, right? Yeah, I get him. How many of you guys think that's a pretty hard verse, right? That's got to be one of the most. Five of you are honest, the rest of you are lying. No, I'm just kidding. But it's hard. It's hard. Because what is he saying? Love your enemies. Man. See, Jesus' definition of love is different than the world's definition. Our culture defines love by what? It's got mutual affection, right? Oh, man, I love you. I love you. Hey, you know, I don't love you anymore after 2 years, right? I mean, it's just like, I'm bored. And so love is just an emotion, right? And love just becomes a feeling. And so people, I don't love you anymore. It's just, I don't feel this way anymore. You don't make my heart flutter. Oh, well. And so you see that definition of love. People talk about sex like, sex is love. No, it's sex is sex. You know, it can have something to do with love, but it's not love. What is Jesus talking about here? Some people think he's using hyperbole. Now, if you guys remember in English, what is a hyperbole? It's what? It's an exaggerated statement to make a point, right? It's hyperbole. And so the most commentators, they say what Jesus is saying here is he's going to an extreme to make a point. Kind of like Jesus will often say, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. Jesus literally doesn't mean gouge your eyes out. He's using hyperbole. But he is saying that you have to have a different attitude. But I don't think he's saying he wants you to have this warm, fuzzy, gushy feeling about people that want to kill you. Okay? Oh, I just have this warm, fuzzy feeling about you, even though you want to kill me. Because, you know, that's kind of crazy. Jesus isn't telling us to be that way. Okay? When he speaks of loving your enemies, he's not asking us to be unthinking or unwise, just to act like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just going to run right into the line of fire. Just be happy. Don't worry. Just love everybody. Oh, my gosh. He's not asking us to be foolish, to be unwise, to open ourselves up to just totally be hurt. That's not what he's saying. So if you think that, don't worry, he's not talking about that. What is he saying, though? For one, he wants us to imitate him. You know, Our culture, again, has a different definition of love. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. The greatest act of love was what? What's the greatest act of love? The cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He gave his life for us. The greatest love is one who lays down their life for another, right? That's the greatest expression of love. There's no greater love than that. And that's what Jesus did. And he laid down his life not only for those who appreciated it, but for those who wouldn't appreciate it. Do you kind of trip out at the end of that? You ever remember reading that in the verse that, oh, God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil? What? What? Really, Lord? Why don't you just give him the fire, right? Just call down fire from heaven, you know? You want me to, man, because that's not how we think, right? That's not how we think. We think, well, I'm going to love those who love me. If they treat me right, I'm going to treat them right. And wait a minute, Jesus is saying something here that's, I got to wrap my mind around this. How many of you guys like, are looking at this verse right now like, oh, yeah, right. That sounds all nice on a Sunday, but how's this going to look on a Monday? We'll talk about that. But the main thing is we got to imitate Christ. Remember what Jesus said? He said, what? If you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Those who lay down their lives, right? Those who try and save their lives will lose it. Those who lay down their lives will gain it. What's he saying? He's saying, look, if you're going to be all about you, you're never going to get a hold of this. But if you imitate me, if you imitate me, there's much blessing for you. There's much reward. It's going to be really awesome. And so he's trying to communicate this. Now, how do you love difficult people in your life? When love is difficult, because really, how many guys, you know, when you read this, it says love your enemies, you're thinking, yeah, well, I don't really have any enemies, right? No one's chasing me down trying to chop my head off for what I believe. We don't think about enemies. What we do, though, think about is difficult people. Are you a difficult person? Are there difficult people in your life? Are people that make life difficult for you? Because I'm looking at your faces right now, and you're like, you know, doing this thing. Hey. This is reality. People are imperfect. Even in church, people can be difficult with other people in church. Christians can be difficult. How many of you guys know that? Amen? You know what? I can be difficult. I will admit that. I don't try to be that way, but I might be a difficult person in somebody else's life. And I've got to humble myself to possibly acknowledge that, even though I think I'm a pretty loving kind of guy. But maybe sometimes I'm not lovable to somebody, but I can't keep chasing them. Why? Why don't you love me? Why aren't you loving me, right? I can't freak out and chase them down, right? Because then that would really be weird. So what do you do? How do you love difficult people? Well, one, you got to pray for them. Amen. How many of you guys know that? You got to pray for people. So have you ever tried praying for somebody that you don't really want to pray for, right? You're just like, oh, you know, Lord, there's this, you know what they did, Lord. You know what they did. This is how it goes. And Lord, I'm having a hard time, but God, I just pray for them right now that you would open their eyes. Open their eyes to see the truth, you know, work on their heart. And then as you're praying, then something happens inside you, like, and Lord, that you would change my heart. Because you realize, as you pray for somebody and your heart softens, oh man, some of this might be for me. Because you can't do anything to change another person. The only thing you can do is change you. I mean, how many of you guys know that? How many of you guys think that you have the power to change another person? I mean, are there no hands raised? Somebody, yeah. We don't have that power in us. I mean, God can move upon people, but people individually, they got to be willing to change themselves. Even the gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. There's a veil over their eyes. I could be preaching, and it's like, boop, rocks hitting the wall. Until they choose, no, I don't want that veil anymore. I want to until they're open to receive. The Bible says there's this blockade. They can't hear the truth. And it's not about reason or intellect or education. It's about the heart. Pray for people. Prayer is like a stealth weapon that is programmed specifically to reach that person's heart without all your words. Because how many of you guys have tried to add more words? Well, I'll just talk to them. Well, I'll just talk to them again. Well, I'll just talk to them again. Maybe you're having a difficult time with somebody at work. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why they like me. I don't know what I did to them, but man, it is hard to work with this person. What is the deal, right? And you try and you try and you try and you try. You know, just pray. At a certain point, it's not like, oh, I'm going to dust off the feet from my heels and just pray for them. Stop talking and pray. Because God, I find that God is a whole lot better at whispering in someone's ear truth than me trying to emphasize to them what I want them to get, right? They're not getting it. I must put it on 3x5 cards and put it all over the office because they're just not getting it. I'm going to type it into their screensaver, you know? I mean, come on. Just pray and let God do his thing. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to keep our mouth closed and pray and trust. But I found it's very good. It works. Second thing we can do is treat them as you want to be treated. This is what? The golden rule. The golden rule. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Not do to others before they do to you. That's not good. That's the devil's rule. Climb over others before they can climb over you. No. Think about what you're doing is Jesus is saying, put yourself in that person's shoes. Now, being in my shoes, that's going to be hard. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I have a size 16, and it would be very uncomfortable for you. But put yourself in the other person's shoes. Put yourself in their position and think about it for a minute. You know, how do I like to be treated? How would I, if I was that person, what would I do? And then you can picture it in your mind. And you know what? If people don't approve of you, don't worry about it, man. Don't be a people. You don't want to go either way. You don't want to be a super people pleaser, but you also don't want to be like, I am the way I am. And who cares what anybody else thinks? That's just it. They got to get used to it. And yeah, well, you know what? Good luck with that. Because you can get fired that way too. So be careful, right? There is a sweet spot in the middle. There's where God is asking us to be like him. Now, love doesn't always mean being nice. In fact, sometimes love is hard. Love doesn't always mean, you know, oh, man, I just got to make this person feel good and comfortable. And a lot of times we don't love because we want to avoid conflict. But sometimes love means speaking truth into somebody's life. See, love and truth They come together. You can't separate love and truth. In God, God is love and God is truth. You cannot pull them apart. But a lot of times, you know, we want to separate love from truth, and all we get is flattery. Oh, you're so good. Yeah. Oh, I can't believe how they are. Oh, yeah, you're such a good person. Oh, my gosh, you know what they just said. Oh, my God. Right? Right? That office weasel. You know what? They're always just, man, they got promoted and because they know somebody and da-da-da. It's hard, right? Or in families. Oh, my gosh. Some of you guys are like, woo, it's the holidays. Some of you guys are like, oh, it's the holidays. Family parties, right? You've got, always got that uncle that's got to go too long on the karaoke, and you're like, shut it down, right? And the neighbors are saying, shut it down, you know, whatever. Or you just, you know, you guys have brothers or sisters, like, they got to win. They just got to win, you know. That word's not a real word, really. Here's a dictionary. Let's look it up. You know, people just got to win. They got to have the last word. Even if it's going out the door, goodbye, no, goodbye, goodbye, no, goodbye. What is wrong with you? You know, so some people are just confrontative by nature. But what am I saying about love? You know, love doesn't always mean being nice. See, when we're called to be, we're not called to be nice, we're called to be gracious. Grace doesn't avoid conflict. It just takes the time to do it in a thoughtful manner. That's if you're gonna speak truth into somebody's life, you have grace. Grace basically is all the thinking about their feelings and about how to say it, and it prays over what you're gonna say. Grace will pray over what you're gonna say to somebody, while not having grace is just, I'm just gonna say it flat out, and you know they'll react however, right? That's called grace, not nice. Being nice just means I don't want to make waves, right? I just want to avoid conflict. We're not called to be nice. We're called to be loving. That's different. Love and truth go together. Do good, expecting nothing in return. Oh, this is good. See, if you're looking for gratitude from every person that you've ever done good for, if you're going to get upset every time somebody doesn't say thank you, every time somebody isn't grateful for what you're going to live a miserable life. Because people are not grateful and not thankful. There are people that are thankful. Awesome. Thank God, you know. But there are a lot of people that will... you know the saying, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, right? They don't even acknowledge that you're doing something for them. And Jesus heals 10 lepers, right? Leprosy, Hansen disease, you know, we have, we're able to treat it now, but back then, I mean, it was so bad. And so he heals 10 lepers, says, go to the priest. They're all cured. You know how many came back to thank Jesus? One. Only one came back to thank him. I mean, healed him from this illness. If you've ever seen somebody that suffered from that, it's hard. And back then, yeah, they didn't have the medicine that we have today. Can you imagine if Jesus was kind of like how we are? Grumbling all the time. Oh, man, I can't believe that. I healed 10 of these guys. Only one of them came back. Can you believe that, Peter? Can you believe that? John, wake up. John, can you believe that? Well, you know, I don't know. Stop. Okay. You know, he's teaching on the temple. Well, the Pharisees are asking questions. Why do you keep asking me questions? So why don't you believe? Well, he did actually scold those guys, yeah. He called them snakes. You bunch of snakes! Whoa, okay. I won't memorize that verse, snakes, no. So can you imagine, I mean, Jesus being ungrateful. He's on the cross. Dying for the whole world, dying for the sins of the world, right? Being yelled at, spit upon, right? And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine if he's up on the cross going, really? Really? Gambling for my clothes? Really? I can't believe you guys. No, Jesus, you could never picture that in your mind, right? Because I'm giving you a picture and you're going, Dave, that is so weird. Because I can never picture Jesus being like that exactly. Exactly. But he's given us his Holy Spirit that we can surpass that. We can go beyond that and we can go, you know what? It's okay. Everything I do is unto the Lord. Everything I do is unto God, I mean. I'm just going to love. I'm not going to expect anything in return. Now, it's different. Like, you're raising your kids, you know, say thank you to Auntie. Yeah, but did you say thank you? Right? I mean, you got to do that. But I'm talking about full-grown adults. Hopefully you should know better, but a lot don't. Right? And so, the reality of it is we're going to be in those situations. And we've just got to realize, look, we're going to give. And sometimes some people will say thanks. A lot of, if you're going to be in the ministry and you got to hang up about appreciation, your ministry will be this short. Because ministry is, you're giving your life as a sacrifice. God sacrificed himself for you. You're giving your life to God for his service. You're serving others, but it's because of him. Amen? Is this good? Is this convicting? Oh. Love is hard. Real love is not easy. It's not easy. I mean, yeah, there's warm, fuzzy feelings, but... And you're thinking about, how do I do that? How do I pull that off? Because sometimes we say this, yeah, right. How does that work? You got to draw strength from the Holy Spirit. Gang, we cannot do this in the flesh. We cannot be these kind of people in the flesh. It is just unnatural. See, Jesus is asking us to do something unnatural. When he's saying, you should love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. They want to take your clothes. Here, I'll give you other clothes. They want to take your underclothes. Give them your underclothes. Of course, you're not going to give somebody your underwear. That's just weird. It's hyperbole, though. Right? He's not literally saying, go ahead, hit me over here. Oh, you hit me here? Go ahead. He's not saying that. What's he saying? Is your heart is not for vengeance. Your heart is not to wait for gratitude. Your heart is saying, I'm going to serve no matter what. It says, it's not about me, it's all about him. Right? And you can't do that in the flesh. You can't do that in the natural. I mean, there are people that do good things. You can do good stuff for people. You can serve them. You can help them. Even family. Any of you guys ever been caretakers for parents? Grandparents? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. And you love them. And you know they love you. And sometimes they begin to lose their memory. That's hard. And you say, God, I need strength. You need to go to God, and he can replenish you. He can fill you with the strength that you need to love people no matter what the situation is. See, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our natural. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can do it. This is accomplished through prayer. Amen? So what I'm telling you is this is not an easy thing Jesus is asking. It's a totally unnatural thing he's asking. He's asking you to be supernatural. The greatest supernatural act is not miraculous healing or prophecy. The greatest supernatural act is a complete transformation of the human heart. Because I don't know anybody in the world that can do that but the Spirit of God. Know that your reward comes from God, not from this world. Amen? I'm just waiting for the handout. Yeah, waiting for the point. No. Any of you guys, like, you have brothers and sisters, but you're the only one in the family who, like, does the workload, right? They're all out doing their thing. And you're having to work hard, and you can begin to resent it. Don't resent it. God's put you there for a reason. He's put you there for a purpose. Just serve him. Just love on him. Amen? So it's not so much enemies, but just when love is hard, when love is difficult, know that your reward comes from God. I mean, Maybe you have anger, you want to take vengeance, right, on an enemy, somebody you see as an enemy. God's like going, no. I mean, Hollywood, they make so much money in the summertime off of vengeance flicks, don't they? Was it John Wick? Somebody killed his dog, so he goes and murders 100 people? I mean, what? What is that about? But the world has a totally different message. God is like, forgive them. Forgive and walk away. Just keep going forward. Because when you want to take vengeance, you're always looking behind you, looking behind you, looking behind you. God's saying, face forward, walk forward, keep going forward. And you know, if someone hurts you, forgive them and turn around and keep walking towards me. I'll reward you. I will bless you in this life and the next. Amen? We don't need closure, satisfaction, or revenge, or gratitude, or anything from anybody. All we need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. He fills us with what we need. And then finally, acknowledge that love is a choice and not an emotion. Right? Love is a choice. Yeah, love can be emotional, but you know what? Love is coming home from a day of long, hard work, and your back hurts, and you're sore, and you're a little sleepy, and maybe you're a little hungry and a little hungry, angry. And the kids want to play, you know, and your wife wants to talk to you, or vice versa, you come home, husband wants to talk, whatever. And love just says, oh, how is your day? Right? Love says, come on, let's play. Right? Love just, it gives. When it's tired, love gives. When it's difficult, love is a choice that we make, not out of our feelings. It's an action that comes when someone is willing to endure a little pain, a little discomfort, a little inconvenience for another person. That is love. It means I care about you enough that I'm going to put my own stuff on the side for right now, and I'm going to make it about you. Now, if you can get with somebody for a lifetime of that in a marriage, that is pretty incredible stuff. But this is how we're called to be in this world. In a world that is filled with hate, in a world that is full of identity politics, in a world that says, you know, we should love and be tolerant of you, oh, but not you over there. You know, we got to reject all that. We got to say, you know what? Jesus called us to love everybody and to ask for nothing in return. And you see, that's weird to the world. So if we begin to be like that, instead of mirroring the hate and mirroring the sense of vengeance, mirroring the disappointment and all the stuff that the world has, if we begin to love people with no strings attached, can you imagine the impact that the church would have? It would be revival. It would be revival. See, the one thing that holds the church together more than any other element, yes, we believe in the truth, we believe in the Word of God, but one thing that holds us together more than anything else is love. Love. True love. Love that will not cast you out if you're a little different. Love that will hold you close when you're hurting. Love of the church through Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul says in 13, so I'll close with this, 1 Corinthians 13. He says, I can do all these good things. I can sacrifice myself to the flames. I can do, you know, I can do all this stuff like Operation Christmas Child, or I can do these ministries, or I can spend my whole life doing all these wonderful good deeds. But if I don't have love, all I am is a bunch of noise. I'm just making noise in this world, and then I leave. But if I have love, if I have love, that's the key. That's what holds everything together. That's what makes the difference. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We bless your name. And Lord, this we know is a hard verse, because maybe there's people in our life, Lord God, that have it's been hard for us to love him, Lord. We're struggling. We're having some difficulty. And Lord, how can we even be the church and affect the world, Lord, if we can't even... We have a hard time even loving the people that are directly around us or in our family or in our workplace, at our schools, Lord. And so we ask this morning, God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would give us the strength to love the people around us, to love those that we have in difficulty with, to love even those that are maybe against us or planning or scheming, Lord, that we just bring before you in prayer. And that we could be the example that you have called us to be, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to really live that out. You say, Lord, that if we do these things, if we love one another, that the world would know that we are one. And I pray that, Lord, that we would love one another. And the world would see our family that don't know you, our co-workers that do not know you, the people around us that do not know you yet, Lord, that they would look at us and go, wow, those people really love each other. And that would be the testimony of the gospel to them, that they would receive you into their hearts and they would join us, Lord. You are hope, you are life, you are love. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.